Scott Wilson will be bringing the word to us today. Scott, pray God's blessing on you.
Thank you, Brian. It is good to be back here. It's been about 4.5 years since Shirley and I were here on a regular basis. I don't think I've been here for any Sundays for about 4.5 years. So good to see a lot of familiar faces, maybe even better to see faces of folks that I don't know. We have prayed for many years that God would grow our church. The session some time ago specifically came up with a vision statement on the front of your bulletin that our heart's desire is that we would gather a community here to live for Christ. And it's very encouraging to see how that has happened. Shirley and I hope to meet all of you that we don't know yet as soon as possible. So this morning, we're looking at the idea of walking righteously with Christ. We're looking to Psalm 23 for help on that. If you have a Bible with you, if it's one of our Bibles, that's on page 581. We'll be there in just a moment. But I think the way that I've seen it done the last several weeks and the way that I generally do it is introduce a passage first, then read the passage, and then offer some help by God's grace on that. And that's how we're going to do it this morning. But before we do anything, let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us as we spend time in his word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning that we have Bibles in our possession, and that whether we turn to the first page or the last or anywhere in between, we have confidence that you will speak to us as we believe that you have led individuals to write their thoughts that are also the very words of God. Be with us this morning as we look at a familiar passage from David, that you would encourage our hearts and you would help us to walk righteously with Christ. We ask for this in his name. Amen. So the 23rd Psalm is a place in the scriptures where saints who need encouragement often turn. This morning, we are looking for encouragement by concentrating our efforts on just three verses. We're going to look at verses 2-4. Our main interest there is in seeing how David describes God as a shepherd who provides him with much needed guidance as he graciously leads him in the best possible way that he can experience life. We hope to learn something about how to receive God's good guidance for ourselves this morning. David tells us two times that God leads him in the way that he should go. He does it once in verse 2 and then again in verse 3. In verse 2, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." Now, the image of a shepherd leading his sheep to green pastures and a place of refreshing water is something that you and I can imagine very easily. In the great state of Pennsylvania, there are plenty of green pastures and many streams and rivers and ponds and lakes. But to have a setting like this described to the original recipients of David's psalm was especially comforting, as they were all acquainted with Israel's geography and climate as being very dry. There were not many green pastures, and there was not an abundance of still waters in their experience. The scene that David is painting for us is meant to demonstrate how very faithful, how dependable, and how generous and kind God is to his people. He is describing God as the one who gives everything his people need, not just by providing their bare necessities, but rather he shows us a picture of a God who provides to his people in abundance. And when we get to verse 3, the way that God is leading his sheep begins to make it clear to us that David sees himself as someone who needs God's special guidance, not just for his physical needs, but probably more importantly, David looks to God to provide him for his spiritual needs. And that's why he says that the paths that God leads him onto our righteous paths. We're not talking sheep when we get to this part. We want to look this morning at what a righteous path might be. And secondly, we want to learn what it means when he says that God guides him into these righteous paths for his name's sake. Let me invite you at this time to turn in your Bible to the 23rd Psalm. You can find that on page 581 if you're using the Bible near you in the pew. If you have a Bible, or if you already know the psalm well enough, let me invite you to join in and we'll say this entire psalm aloud. Now, if you learned it in that ancient language called King James, go ahead. The ESV and the King James are close enough that we'll be all right. So let me read this, and if you would please join in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. As we look at verses 2 through 4, where David mentions how much he delights in God's leading in his life, we want to spend most of our time on the last part of verse 3, where he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What do we understand these paths of righteousness to be? And what does it mean that our paths of righteousness are done for his name's sake? First off, strictly speaking, the Hebrew here actually just means the right path or the proper path. Having said that, the ESV and almost all other versions do well to translate the phrase, he leads me in paths of righteousness. By a righteous path or a right path, David means following God's leading in living the right way in a world where you and I could easily become confused and lost if we chose to go our own way without God's guidance. That happens. Since the image being portrayed is that of a sheep being led, David wants us to realize that not all paths get a sheep or a person to the right place. Sheep might take a dangerous path. They may take a path that does not lead to any green pasture, doesn't lead to water. So the shepherd has to make sure that they take the right path. In a similar way, there is a famous proverb. I'm sure you know it. Solomon tells us, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. We know from the Old Testament witness that David himself made some wrong choices in his life about which path he was going to go down. Some of David's choices had disastrous results. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I am going to ask you, have you ever done anything like that? Mentally, I see hands going up. Maybe you made some wrong choices back when you were younger, when you thought that you knew better than mom and dad. And some of us, I'm putting my hand up, make wrong choices even now when we are old enough to know better. What should you do if you make a wrong turn? Will God allow us to get back on a path of righteousness. Hopefully, we won't act like the stereotypical male driver who claims he's not going the right way when he actually has no idea where he is heading. My brother-in-law has a GPS in his car, which I think was specifically designed to redirect males who prefer not to get advice on finding their way back to the right road, especially to that lovely and gracious woman who was seated next to him. It happens. If you ever suspect that you are on the wrong way, remind yourself that God welcomes U-turns, and he has in fact given us an entire book to tell you how to make U-turns. So if you have a sense that your moral direction needs correction, remember that there is a roadmap to help you get back on those righteous paths. In Psalm 23, there are several paths mentioned by which God leads us. In verse 2, we see paths by which our good shepherd leads us to spiritual food and drink. He leads us into those green pastures and the still waters, metaphors for what God does to nourish our souls. In verse 4, we find there is a dark and scary path on which God walks alongside us. That's because God's paths of righteousness sometimes take us through places that are fearful and maybe even very dangerous. But when he walks with us, then we can go through the valley of the shadow of death expecting that he will lead us, that he will protect us, and he will safely bring us out the other end of that valley. Both verses 2 and 4 encourage us as we are assured of God's presence as we walk with him on these paths as he leads us. Verse 3, that's where we're going to spend most of our time today. Verse 3 describes the paths that believers are happy to follow when they are doing well spiritually. David calls them paths of righteousness. And I think it is safe to assume, because I know most of you, that these are paths that you most often choose to take. That's your desire, to walk righteously with Christ. But on occasion, these paths could be ways some of us may not always want to travel, because these paths require us to do things that you and I as sinners may sometimes prefer not to do. I say you and I because we are not always quick to follow God's leading. Sometimes sheep go astray. Maybe they see something they think is a shortcut to the green pasture or to a stream where they hope they can get cool water to refresh themselves. But really, who knows better about how to get to the green pasture or to the still waters? Does sheep automatically know the way, or are they better off trusting the shepherd who leads them on the proper path? In verse 3, David says about the Lord that not only does he know how to help us to end up in the right place, that would be good enough, but that shepherd knows a way of getting us where we need to be on a path that is helpful in and of itself. The whole way is a good experience. David understands that he, and of course you and I, need more than just guidance as advice. The Bible is not a do-it-yourself book. God is both good and wise as he guides us on to the paths of righteousness by walking with us. If you and I were to look at a path that we believe God wants us to take as if we had to walk that all alone, it would sometimes be a path that we would definitely prefer not to take. I know it's right, Lord, but I don't want to go there. Sometime God calls us to walk along a path which could include, this is a short list, you can add many more things to us, but sometimes God calls you to take a path of righteousness which could include things like suffering, resisting your worst and strongest temptation, living counterculturally, practicing self-denial. He may even ask us to take a path that leads to persecution. Those are all paths of righteousness. Walking a path of righteousness could include not only loving my neighbor who I like as myself, his path of righteousness may well include loving your enemy whom you do not like. That is why the path of righteousness is always a road that is best walked with God. Do not do it alone. By his grace, he is able to incline the natural heart to listen to his voice, like sheep who will follow their shepherd because they recognize the familiar sound of the voice of their shepherd as he walks in front of them. Psalm 23, like most of the Psalms and most of the Old Testament, includes references which are pointing forward to the Lord Jesus. And that's why Jesus is able to describe himself in John chapter 10, a passage you know very much. He compares himself there to a shepherd who has sheep who follow him, but the good shepherd has a spiritual flock who hears his voice. Here's what he says. This is John 10, verses 3 and 4. Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd. But you can tell immediately how this is talking about your shepherd and you following him. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Sheep without a shepherd will lose their way. It is their nature to follow the one who leads them down the proper path. And that's how you and I are to live. If we try to live the Christian life as if we do not need to follow Christ as he leads us, we are as certain to become as utterly lost as sheep who wander off on their own. The path of righteousness is not always the easiest path. I think sometimes it is more often difficult than easy. But it is the only path that will get us where God wants us to go. If you and I aim at pleasing the Lord, our choices to take proper paths will become natural to us as those who want to obey him. And that's key in the Christian life. Here's one of the most important things that Jesus says in the Gospels in terms of what will make a Christian take a path of righteousness, especially when it's not easy. Jesus says, I'll start it, you finish it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It would be louder if there was more of us here this morning. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. Why would a Christian take a path of righteousness that's painful? If you have the incentive that I can demonstrate my love to Christ by doing this, that will help on that first step down that path of righteousness which God is calling you to take. Living for Christ because you love him is the normal Christian life. If you trust Christ, you will trust him to lead you on righteous paths because they are pleasing to him. Now, how can we actually know when we are walking with Christ on his paths of righteousness? We think that question can at least be partially answered in this way. Live according to what God reveals in His Word, and His righteous paths can be easily found. Living the Christian life is not rocket science. Little children know how to do it. It's not knowing it that's difficult. It is the doing that is difficult, and that's why we need God's grace and His Holy Spirit to lead us into the proper paths. Now, it might seem way too obvious to say it, but if what we have just said is true about how the Word of God leads you into the proper path, it would follow that we could never claim that the Lord ever leads anyone into any action or any relationship that is opposed to His Word. And that's pretty simple, that if you read the Word of God and really believe it and obey it, you would never do any action or be in any relationship that is opposed to His Word. But, and the elders that have been here the longest know the most of these sad stories. Sadly, pastors and elders see this simple advice all too often ignored. They watch sheep wander away from the fold. Parents, and I know many of you, can testify that they have seen this happen to their own children, who once walked closely with the Lord, but then chose to leave the paths they formerly followed. Remember, God welcomes U-turns, and never stop praying that those who have gone on the wrong path might return. Now, how can we know that we are on the righteous path and not on a wrong path? We repeat it. The Lord never leads anyone. If you see this beginning to happen in the life of a young person whom you know, tell them as soon as possible. The Lord never leads anyone into any action or any relationship that is opposed to His Word. Indeed, the Lord cannot lead us to do anything other than we find in His Word, because He leads us into these paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He will not lead you the wrong way. The fact that the Lord leads us for His name's sake means that He guides us according to all that His name represents about Himself. His guidance to us is always in keeping with His holiness, His love, His faithfulness, His wisdom, and everything else that He has revealed Himself to be. Pastor Keene has been doing a series on the attributes of God, and just last week he reminded us that this God is a righteous God. It's important that you walk in these righteous paths because you represent this God. He wants you and me to live in such a way that we represent Him well to a watching world. And if you ever watch television, you know that people watch Christian people closely. They love to see you fall or be a hypocrite or be too strict or whatever it is that they don't like about Christians. A couple of days ago, I was using a very good devotional book by Pastor John MacArthur. It's called Drawing Near. I would recommend any of his daily devotionals. And in that daily devotional, he was talking about how important it is that you and I walk on these. Now, he wasn't in the 23rd Psalm, but it's very close, that he's saying the way that you live, the way that you represent God, is extremely important to people who know nothing about the Word of God. He says this: you are the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read, and your life is under scrutiny every day. What do others learn from you? Do they see an accurate picture of your God? Christians will always be maligned, but let it be for righteousness' sake and not because of sin. Good words. Lord, help us to do this. Now, if this morning we were already completely righteous, if we were already completely transformed into the likeness of God, walking the paths of righteousness would be much easier than it is. But righteousness like that is something none of us have achieved yet, at least no one you and I have ever met, and certainly not the person who looks back at you from your mirror. The good news about attaining greater personal righteousness is that it does not ultimately depend on us. God, who is good and gracious and powerful, gives us his Spirit to transform us from what we once were into what you someday shall be. He's doing this in your life. He does this transforming work in us according to his infinite wisdom and power, and because we are who we are, according to his infinite patience. And there is more good news about how a believer can confidently look forward to an increase in personal righteousness. The truth is, God cares about you becoming righteous more than you do. He cares about this a great deal because our lifestyles reflect on him. People look at us, and that what makes them think what kind of God it is that you follow. When believers live righteously as the Holy Spirit transforms us, the unbelieving world is able to see how following the Good Shepherd results in becoming those who have been changed by him. Do you ever meet a person who says they're a Christian and you could never guess it? That person is not walking on paths of righteousness. They may know something. They may have done something. But they are nowhere near the Good Shepherd because he would be changing them as he leads them. God's reputation in the world, when we live righteously, is magnified because he is the one who changes people like you and me. Praise God that his plan for you and me to become more righteous does not depend on our ability to make it happen, but on his. However, because we do not want to wander off into some strange view of the Christian life as if it is entirely without effort and commitment on our part. Let us remind ourselves of what God has done for us in Christ to make us righteous and what he expects us to do as we walk with Christ on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. To return to John 10 again as we close this morning, Christ has done something for us that only he, as the Good Shepherd, can do. The beginning of your righteousness comes from him. John 10, verses 14 and 15, and I'm abbreviating it. That's the place where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Sinners cannot be righteous before God without the Good Shepherd being their Savior from sin. Walking righteously with Christ as believers, as the sheep who follow him, begins with receiving forgiveness from him for all of our unrighteousness. Then, when you see yourself as a sheep who was utterly lost, and Christ as the Good Shepherd who loved you so much that he laid down his life for you, there is a wonderful supernatural result that you are then drawn to him and will follow him wherever he leads you. If you and I pursue walking righteously with Christ as the way that we can best demonstrate to him our love and gratitude, our good shepherd will continually enable us to live in such a way that you and I will continually choose to take the paths of righteousness. Stay close to him on these paths. Follow him wherever he leads. The good shepherd is exceedingly good to us, and those who follow him are greatly blessed. By God's grace, those who walk righteously with Christ delight in being those who walk in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to do this day by day. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning that there is someone whom we know and call the Good Shepherd, calls himself the Good Shepherd. We thank you that he laid down his life for us. We thank you that he gives us his Spirit, that he then gives us eyes to see and ears to hear, and we do hear his voice in Scripture. We pray that you would help us to see the paths of righteousness and to always take them, knowing that if we do that, we are doing it for his name's sake, that he might be glorified in what we do as sheep who follow him. Help us to do this, we pray, in his name. Amen.